tzitzit. Okay, now let's discuss a couple of things about the myth. Some halacha, some agada. Probably we'll end up doing more agada, but let's start out with some halacha. There's a very let's compare the mitzvah of tzitzis to the mitzvah of matzah. And the fact is that there's a relationship between mitzvah of tzitzis. What could possibly be a connection between the mitzvah of eating matzah and the mitzvah of tzitzis? You never heard someone say, no, you should do that. There are chassidim who put on their talis for the seder. You ever hear that before?
No.
Yeah, there's such a thing. No, don't try this at home. I know, but the night of Pesach it's not Laila. You don't see the sun shining the night of Pesach outside. The night of Pesach is a whole different league. Leil Shimurim. It's a Leil Shimurim. There are Chassidim that I don't know anyone personally that does this, but I definitely saw.
The Rebbe's, when they hold they put on a talis.
The whole nine yards for the Seder. Now, what is that all that about? I mean, so there is a very simple connection. It says in the pasuk regarding matzah, "Ushemartem es ha matzois." Now, that's not shemartem es matzois. And what do Chazal say about that pasuk? Al tikrei matzois, ela mitzvois. Ushemartem, you shall guard es ha mitzvois. Mitzvah haba liyotcha al tachmitzena. If a mitzvah comes into your hand, do not let it become chametz. What do we mean by that? It means chabarayim. If you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, do the mitzvah immediately. Do it immediately. Do not delay. Just like matzah, when you add the water to the flour, immediately proceed to knead the dough and to bake it, because the clock is ticking. 18 minutes, it turns into chametz. So it's very interesting that Chazal teach us this halacha, that all mitzvahs, a general approach to mitzvahs is mitzvah, habol liyotcha, al tach mitzena, from matzahs. So you'll say, but it's, why? Because it's the same letters. Okay, mitzvah and matzah are the same letters. Ushemartem es ha-matzois, al tikrei matzois elo mitzvois. All the mitzvois are merumis in matzah. Certainly in this respect, in this drosh of Chazal, that you should be diligent in the performing of mitzvois, just like you are diligent in the making of matzah. Tzitzis, the Torah explicitly says, Uri'isem oisoi uzichartem es kol mitzvos Hashem va'asisem oisam. When you look at the mitzvos, there is no discrimination. Don't look at the mitzvah and think about only this particular mitzvah or that particular mitzvah. When you look at the tzitzis, you shall remember all of the mitzvos of Hashem. And in fact, Rashi makes for us the gematria, tzitzis, and you add plus the 8 strings, plus the 5 knots, it comes out to 613. So the mitzvos represent, the tzitzis represent all of the tayag mitzvahs. So isn't it interesting? Now we have two mitzvahs, the mitzvah of tzitzis and the mitzvah of matzah. Matzah, shmartem es ha-matzah es al-tikri matzah es ele-mitzvahs. And we have the mitzvah of tzitzis, which the Torah says, u'isim so zechaitem es kol mitzvahs Hashem va'asisem oisam. Okay, now there's obviously a connection. Here's the question. When it comes to the mitzvah of achilas matzah, we make a bracha on the night of the Seder, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah sevitzivanu al achilas matzah. What about in the morning? No, you don't make a bracha. You make hamotzi lechem in haaretz, you make that at night as well, but you do not ever repeat the bracha of asher kiddushanu al achilas matzah. You only make that bracha once. And in fact, if you eat, now the problem is that the Torah says numerous times that you shall eat matzah 7 days. 7 days, it says in many places, I can't tell you all the psukim, chapter and verse, but It says numerous times the mitzvah of matzah 7 days. There is one place where it says 6 days, not 7 days. And Chazal take note of the discrepancy between 6 and 7. And they come along and they make a drasha to tell you that obviously the last day there's no chiyah because only it says eat matzah for 6. And that leads to the conclusion that just like we have omitted in one pasuk day number 7, we only mentioned 6, it must be that day number 7, you don't have to eat matzah. Davar shoye bechlal, v'yatzah min achlal lelameh, loy lelameh al atzma yatzah, el lelameh al kol haklal kul yatzah, that the other 6 days of Pesach, you also don't have to eat matzah. The only day that you must eat matzah unconditionally is the first night, because the pasuk says, bo erev toichlu matzahs. So, okay, this is drasha, not for now, the golden details.
You say that the matzahs is only when there's a chi of Pesach? Because the matzah you ate with the Pesach.
Yeah, so obviously that's part of the reason, but yet we still have halacha l'maaseh that b'zman hazeh, when there is no achilas Pesach, you still have a mitzvah d'oraisa to eat matzah in the night of Pesach. So it comes, Rameh is saying, good, there are many dimensions to eating matzah. There's eating matzah by itself the night of Pesach, even without the Karban Pesach. There's certainly an element of eating the matzah together with the Karban Pesach. And then there is eating matzah on the remaining 6 days, which after the Gemara makes an analysis resolving the contradiction in the Psukim of 7 and 6, concludes that the other 6 days you have no obligation. However, you cannot ignore the fact that the Torah does say that you should eat matzah. So how will we reconcile this? If you do eat the matzah, you get credit for doing a mitzvah. But if you don't want to eat matzah, fine. No one will have a complaint against you. It's a very complicated mitzvah, eating a matzah. Again, Ryu, matzah, the first night of Pesach, you must eat. If you do not eat matzah the first night of Pesach, that's a very, very serious sin of not eating matzah the first night, even noshim achayev. The Gemara is a drasha. It's a very severe, it's a very serious mitzvah to eat matzah the first night of Pesach. The remaining six and a half days, the rule is, if you eat matzah, if you do decide to exert yourself to eat matzah, you are fulfilling a very holy and great mitzvah. But if for whatever reason you're not in the mood and you don't want to eat matzah, it's fine. So don't eat matzah. No one's going to have any complaint against you for not eating matzah.
Is there any other mitzvah like
that? What?
Any other mitzvah like that? Well, you don't have to, but if you do, you get a...
Tzitzis is exactly where we're coming to. You hit the nail on the head. Because exactly what we're coming to, tzitzis, are you obligated every single day to wake up in the morning and take a talus skatan or a talus gadol and put upon your body and make the bracha l'satif b'tzitzis, al mitzvah tzitzis? No! You can go theoretically go your entire life and never put on a tzitzis. The obligation to wear tzitzis is only triggered if you happen to have a garment that has 4 corners and you happen to be wearing it. Okay, there's a discussion. If you have the garment in your closet of 4 corners, are you obligated to put the tzitzis on the garment when you're not? Is it a chayva on the mone, on the object, or is it a chayva on the gav? Let's make it very simple now for our purposes, for sake of simplicity. If you have a 4-corner garment in your closet and you're not wearing it,
irrelevant.
Have a nice day. Don't bother me. I won't bother you. Shalom al Yisra. Peace. But if you take out that garment, and that garment has 4 corners, and you put it upon your body, and there are no tzitzis, you're in trouble. You're wearing a garment, and you're not wearing tzitzis, you are in violation of not fulfilling a mitzvah asay, a positive commandment to wear tzitzis. But if I don't put on that garment on my body, and certainly if I don't even own it, I have no obligation to wear tzitzis. So we have over here 2 mitzvahs which are very similar in that you have no obligation, but if you do the mitzvah, you're going to get extra credit. You will indeed get extra credit if you do the mitzvah, you put the tzitzis on your body, on the garment with the tzitzis, you make a bracha, you can do a mitzvah, and matzah, we're talking about 6 and a half days. We're not talking about, let's put aside for now the first night.
The same way?
No. Sukkah is much more problematic. Sukkah, do you have to? If you don't, you go on a starvation diet.
No. If you don't eat during Chol Hamoed bread or mezonos, so
then teishu ke'ein tiduru. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer, but it seems that it's more problematic by Sukkah. Not bedafka to you. There are ways to be exempt if you're a traveler,
yeah.
and if it's raining outside, or you mitsta'er. But if the conditions are perfect, for you to avoid the sukkah is not so simple. Okay, I don't know the answer. I don't have the answer 100% because the mitzvah of sukkah is teishvu ke'ein tiduru. You're supposed to live there. You have to live no matter what. So your living has to be in the sukkah. There are exemptions. I don't know the answer, but it's not so simple. It's not so simple. When it comes to the mitzvah of tzitzis, that we have over here something which we're going to focus on a little bit more because there are more elements to this. So let's review. We have over here, we're trying to compare the mitzvah of tzitzis to the mitzvah of eating matzah for 6.5 days. We're not discussing eating matzah the night of Pesach. That's a gzeres hakasev bo erev tochlu matzahs. We're focusing on wearing tzitzis on eating matzah 6.5 days. The Gemara concludes that you have no obligation, but if you do decide to eat matzah, you're doing a very good thing. You are getting credit, ding ding ding. You're getting big credit in Shemayim for doing a mitzvah of eating matzah on the Yom Tov of Pesach. If you don't want to do the mitzvah, no one will have any complaint against you, but you're not going to get that reward of doing the mitzvah of achilas matzah. Okay, but tzitzis, the same thing. I don't have to wear tzitzis. I can go pretty much my whole life without wearing tzitzis, because the only time the mitzvah is triggered is when you put the garment on your body that has four corners. If I don't put a garment on my body that has four corners, then I'm not in violation. I'm not getting credit for the mitzvah, but no one could have a complaint against me. The Gemara comes along. The Gemara tells a story. Rabbi Pidos, I think it's in Rabbi Pidos. Rabbi Pidos says that he was there. Rabbi Pidos, I believe, that if I'm not mistaken, the story was he did not wear tzitzis. He wasn't wearing tzitzis. Here's the story. I'm sorry, Rabbi Ketina. I made a mistake. It's Rabbi Ketina. I'm sorry. It's the Gemara Masechta Menachos. Menachos Taf Mem Aleph. The story was there was a person by the name of Rav Ketina. Rav Ketina did not wear tzitzis. He never went into Eichler's to buy a pair of tzitzis. Came to shul davening. He did not wear a talis. Nothing. No tzitzis. Nothing. Why? Because he learned the sugya and the sig. No strings attached. No strings attached. He learned the sugya, and the sugya says that you only have an obligation if you wear a four-cornered garment. No, I don't have a four-cornered garment. There's no need for me to wear tzitzis. So Rav Ketina was a very holy person, and he happened to meet on the train a malach. A malach from Shemayim. He bumped into a malach, and the malach said to him, you know, in Shemayim, you're not held in high regard because you do not wear tzitzis. So Rav Ketina says, what are you talking about? I learned the sugya. I wrote a sefer on this, that you don't have to wear tzitzis, only if you're four-cornered garment. So he said, you're right, but, and Hashem is not going to punish you, but when Hashem gets angry, and he looks for excuses to show his anger, the people who go out of their way not to wear tzitzis are held accountable. So, now what's problematic about this Gemara, first of all, it's a malach. This is not. There's no source for this. There's no pasuk. There's no drash. There's no halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. This is a ma'isa. It's a nice chassidish ma'isa in the Gemara, telling us from a malach, Torah la b'shemayimi, telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry.
He's vengeful.
At people. I'm sorry.
Vengeful
for people.
You don't understand Hashem being.
Well, you didn't do anything wrong. Hashem gives wrote the rules. Hashem cannot punish a person unjustly. Mm-hmm. That's Tom and Paulo. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset, ordinarily HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very forgiving. But when there is grounds for anger, this is a major factor.
Any other mitzvahs besides?
No other mitzvah besides this. Justices. Is that it's right. You don't have to do it. You can avoid it your entire. I'll give you an example, a real example where you can avoid shechita. Can you be a vegetarian? Absolutely. You don't have to eat. You don't have to eat meat your whole life. You can really do it. L'chatchil. I think I feel like there's a shayla of a basar is a mitzvah. That's only basar kachem. To go eat basar on Yom Tov is samachta b'chagecha ain't simcha el b'basar. That's not so simple.
Are you talking about eating or shechting?
I told you a carbon. A carbon, you have to no choice. Carbon, you have no. You have to eat meat.
You don't have to be a shechting.
Oh, but it's still, even though you're saying regularly, it's still when you are eating a piece of meat, you have to appreciate that you are connecting to the mitzvah, the rice of Shechita. Even though you did not answer Amen to the bracha of the Shechit, but when you go into Glatmart or any of your favorite store to buy chicken, poultry, or meat, and you eat kosher meat to a degree, you are fulfilling, you're getting a little credit in Shemayim for the mitzvah d'oraisa of Shechita and Kisui Hadam, because if you're going to eat kosher meat, meat that had a ma'aseh Shechita, the Shechit was my agent. Now, I didn't appoint him as my agent, I didn't answer Amen to his bracha. This wasn't like Sriya So'aymer in Shul, you know, the Shechit, and they come to Shul and they make the bracha which answer Amen. It doesn't work like that. But the fact is, that every piece of meat that you eat, every bird that you eat, somebody made a bracha on that act of shechita. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvayis v'mitzvanu al hashechita and al kisi hadam, if it's a bird, if it's poultry. So you're connecting. That's beautiful. That's very beautiful. Person, he comes, achameh v'eshem v'shemayim, you get credit. Hashem, I bought kosher meat. I never went to a slaughterhouse. I never learned the art of shechita.
That's where they charge you more, because it's...
It's a chus. It's a zechus. Good for business, okay? This is good for business. It's a zechus. You are connecting yourself to the mitzvah d'oraisa of shechita. That's a beautiful thing. So you know, if you take that argument further, you know, you would say, so you know, every single day we should have basar. Or basar. Huh? Not poultry, because poultry is only a shal d'rabbanan. The machlokes is shechita on poultry is d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. So, break the bank. Break the bank. Every day have meat, because every same way you put on tzitzis, are you mechuyev to wear tzitzis every single day? No. Do you do it? Yeah, you do it. So shechita, if you eat basar every single day, you know what that means? You are getting, you're attaching yourself to the mitzvah de'oraisa of shechita. Poultry is a shayla, it's the dilemma in the Gemara, if it's de'oraisa midrabanan to shecht birds. But basar, oh, for sure. So, do you ever hear of a person that you should eat meat every single day? Never heard such a thing. It's a why? It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. So, if you're wealthy, if a person is a person as a wealthy person, did you ever hear of a wealthy person having a hakpada to eat meat every single day because of the mitzvah d'oraisa of shechita? Never. You never heard of such a thing.
They didn't shecht the birds for the carbon?
Oh, I told you, carbon, they're the malika. They're birds in the basement. You don't do shechita by birds. You take your fingernail and you press it in. What? They did it. The Kohanim ate the chatas. Only the Kohanim ate the birds. It's a carbon kachem, and the Kohanim ate. Kohanim ate the birds. You don't bring a shlamim from a bird. You only bring it from either a chatas or an oila. And by the chatas, the Kohanim ate the meat of the bird. So here's the question. Why not? How come you never heard of wealthy people eating meat, not because of health reasons, or either out, they'll tell you it's not healthy to eat too much meat, but what you never heard, why? I'm being every day when we climb a mitzvah d'oraisa of shechita. There's no such thing.
There must be a rebbe who has a minute.
There's no such thing. There's no such thing. The mitzvah of shechita is, if you want to eat meat, then the mitzvah is first triggered. If you don't want to eat meat, then there's no mitzvah. And therefore, when Hashem gets angry at us, chas v'shalom, if Hashem would get angry, it's not part of the equation to say, I'm angry at you people. You did all of these averos, plus you don't go out of your way to be mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa of shechita. There's no such thing. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu gets angry at us, Chas V'Shalom, it's not part of the equation. Why didn't you exert yourself to be mekayim the mitzvah of shechita and eat meat more often, so that you will be participating in the mitzvah of shechita? Unheard of. If you don't want to eat meat today, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, you don't have to eat meat, never.
But that's in general. If you don't want to eat every hour, say a bracha, they get a mitzvah, it's the same thing.
Well,
are you required to eat every hour, so you should make a bracha?
Definitely not. But what's that? That's not, that you're talking about how many times. Let's even talk about once. You only have to do it for a second.
Right.
Once a day, once a week. But it's not part of the equation. Like, let's talk about normal. Torah deals with normal people. Torah doesn't want you to eat the whole day. Whatever normal is. You never eat meat. Hashem is angry. You couldn't go eat meat once a month to show, to be mekayim, to participate, to attach yourself to a mitzvah deraisa of shechita? You never heard this. Why? There's no such thing. Hashem does not get angry. But when it comes to tzitzis, why didn't you wear tzitzis? I'm a chuyif. I don't want to go. It makes me sweat. It irritates me to wear a four-cornered garment, to wear a talus, wool talus. You know, it's not comfortable. I don't like the feeling of wearing a wool talus. So I don't have four corners. I don't have tzitzis. What do you want from me? No, I'm angry at you. I'm angry. Why didn't you go out of your way to put on your body a four-cornered garment so you'll trigger an obligation to wear tzitzis? Why? Why is tzitzis unique in this realm where the Torah... We don't know this. There's no makor. Like, this is like real ultimate halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, real tradition. This is not a pasuk in the Torah. This is no halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. This is a piece of Gemara Masechta Menachos from a malach. Torah labashamayim hi. But yet this is mamish bread and butter for us. This is meat and potatoes for Klal Yisrael. This halacha over here. And this is the malach said to Rav Ketina. He said to him that there is a kitreg on you in Shemayim, that you don't wear tzitzis. Why? What did I do wrong? Why is wearing tzitzis any different than meat? No one tells me I have to eat meat, so I'm a vegetarian. I'm a vegetarian my whole life. I don't want to, whatever my reasons are, I'm a vegetarian. I don't eat meat. No one said I'm going to complain against, you will never attach yourself to the beautiful mitzvah of Avala Shrita. So the same thing. I don't have to attach myself to the mitzvah of tzitzis because I never had an obligation. I never wore a four-corner garment.
Putting the talus on in the morning doesn't fulfill that obligation?
Oh, that tzitzis.
Right. Well, what?
Putting the talus on in the morning doesn't fulfill that obligation?
It does, so don't wear a talus. That's what Rav Ketina, he didn't wear a talus. Rav Ketina, you only, what do you mean?
He put on a talus at all?
Right, he didn't wear a talus at all, nothing. He did not wear a talus. Rav Ketina did not wear a talus katan and not a talus gadol. Nothing. Never. For a significant period of time, he never put on a talus gadol and not a talus katan. Never.
When he was a kid?
Obviously, that's what it seems to say. The malach said to him, you're doing an aveira. What do you mean? Because when Hashem gets angry, he has a complaint, why didn't you put yourself in a situation where you're wearing a four-cornered garment so that you'll now trigger the obligation to wear tzitzis. Why is tzitzis different than meat? So the answer is, given by virtually everyone is, because it says in the Torah, by tzitzis, u'ri'isim esoi, u'zachartem es kol mitzvois Hashem. Shechita does not represent kol haTorah kula. When you slaughter an animal, you're observing one mitzvah. One in 613 mitzvahs. The Torah doesn't demand you go every single day and fulfill every mitzvah. But the mitzvah of tzitzis, it says, u'ri'isem oisoi u'zechartem es kol mitzvahs Hashem. When you look at those tzitzis, you're looking at kol haTorah kula. Here, there's a complaint. Every single day, put yourself in a situation to obligate yourself to remember that Hashem gave you the Torah, and there are 613 mitzvahs. This is why the mitzvah of tzitzis stands out like none other. Now, let's go back to our how we began the shiur. There's another mitzvah that stands out like none other, and that is matzah. Matzah, it says, Ushemartem es hamatzos. Chazal darshin al tikrei matzos ela mitzvos. As an aside, I'm a very weak mind, and Baruch Hashem, once in a while I have an opportunity occasionally to lain where I daven occasionally, and once in a while I get to lain Parshas Bo, and I always have this crazy fear that when I get to the pasuk Ushmartem es hamatzois, I always am afraid I'm going to say Ushmartem es hamitzvois. It wouldn't be such a terrible mistake, right?
No.
But the Chazal say al tikre matzois ella mitz. The worst mistake I ever made was I leaned the chasher govar. Amolek. That's what I said. It says in the pasuk, "Hashahedim yadoi govar Yisrael." It says in the pasuk that when Moshe raised his hands, the Jews prevailed. So I, by mistake, said, "Hashahedim yadoi govar Amolek." Ooh, that was really bad. That was really bad. I made that mistake for real. Okay, I don't know how that happened, but it happened. But Ushmartem es hamatzos al tikri matzos ela mitzvos. So what do we learn about matzah? Matzah represents kol haTorah kula. Al tikri matzos ela mitzvos. Mitzvah bol liyotcha al tach mitzena. Tzitzis uri'isim zechaitim is called mitzvos Hashem asisim oisah. So now here's the question. When it comes to tzitzis, do it very often. Hashem is angry if you don't put yourself in an opportunity to do the mitzvah of tzitzis. Okay. What bracha do you make when you do the mitzvah? So what do? So we do the mitzvah very often. Every single time you put on a talis, you make a bracha? You certainly do. You make a bracha either lis atef tzitzis or al mitzvah tzitzis. Right? Every single time you make a bracha. Matzah. Do you make a bracha? Only once. The only time you make a bracha on matzah is once. Bo'erev toichlu matzos. The other 6.5 days, it's shocking. You don't make a bracha. How could it be you don't make a bracha? You make a bracha of hamotzi lechem in haaretz, but that's a bracha you make on food. The night of the seder, you also make the bracha hamotzi lechem in haaretz, but you make the bracha on matzah. Asher kiddushon b'mitzvos for al achilas matzah. You make a bracha, even though you have an obligation to make it by tzitzis. But the rest of Pesach, you don't make a bracha. No bracha. Why? Because there's no obligation. The bottom line is, there is no obligation to observe this mitzvah. If you observe the mitzvah, good for you. You get credit in Shemayim. But to say Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvoso v'tzivanu, you commanded us. You can't say that. But when it comes to tzitzis, there's no obligation to wear tzitzis. There's no obligation to put yourself in a situation where you wear tzitzis. If you happen to be wearing a garment of four corners, so then you put on the tzitzis. For most of us, it's all or nothing. None of our clothing have four corners, so they really go hand in hand. You put, and yet we make a bracha every single time we put on tzitzis. Why? If the mitzvah of tzitzis is so chasha, because when Hashem gets angry, he has a complaint against us. Because why did you not put yourself in a situation to make the bracha, to do the mitzvah, and that upgrades the mitzvah to almost as if there's an obligation to do so. So why don't we say, even though the Malach did not talk about this, did not have this conversation with with Rav Ketina regarding matzah, but being that matzah, mitzvah habol liyotcha al tachmitzena, corresponds to all of the mitzvahs. Why, and even though we have no obligation to do so, but being that the Torah says that the seven-day festival, and if you want to do the mitzvah, you will get credit for the mitzvah, why don't Chazal allow us treat it with the same degree of severity and chavivus to tell us to make the bracha? Why is that? Now, I know you'll answer me the technical answer. You can take the technical approach, the geek approach, new term. You want to be a geek? So we'll take the geek approach, and that is because by tzitzis, it's two parts. It's the wearing a garment of four corners. If I'm wearing a garment of four corners, I have no choice. I have no choice. So then, asher kiddushan b'mitzvos v'sivanu. The choice came when I put on the garment. Okay, putting on the garment, you don't make a bracha. If I put on a garment of four corners and there are no tzitzis, you don't make a bracha. You don't make a bracha. I put on a garment that has four corners, there's no bracha to be made. Now it comes upon me an obligation. Oh, you have four corners, you better right now put on those tzitzis. So now, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvos sivanu al mitzvah tzitzis, I have an obligation. Matzah, there's no two steps. It's you put the food in the mouth. There's no two steps. So whoever told you, you don't have to put the food in the mouth. So if you want to go analyze it from a technical point of view, you'll tell me when it comes to matzah, you have no obligation to put the matzah into your mouth. So what the very act is called, in essence, is a reshus. But when it comes to tzitzis, the reshus is over. That's an old decision. You made a decision to put on your body four corners. You don't have to do it, but you did it. Now that you did do it, which we didn't tell you to do, now you have no choice. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu. Okay, that's a very nice answer. That's a very true answer. There's no question about that answer will stand up in court. That's a very true technical answer. Yeah?
What's bothering me about the story of Rav Ketina is that he seems to be actively avoiding fulfilling the mitzvah when everybody else, presumably, is wearing tzitzis. Why?
He's a parish, not tzibur. No, it doesn't say that in the Gemara. You're making a different point. You're discussing Hilchos Deis V'Chavos Halvavos Al Tivish Menat Tzibur. Make believe. Let's make believe something. Let's make believe that he was the rabbi of a community. No, it doesn't seem. The Gemara does not make any mention of that. The Gemara does not seem. Let's make a wild assumption that he was the rabbi of a community and the entire community did not wear tzitzis on his command. The entire community, no one wear a garment of four corners. You okay, Ramachol? In his community, no one, make believe, no one wore tzitzis. So he was challenging him as your, not as a Persh Menat Tzibur, as your psak halacha.
Maybe he's allergic to wool.
It doesn't say that. That's not what it says. It says over here it was a halachic approach. It was a halachic approach, and the Malcolm he used was him. So the answer, I think there's over here a very interesting answer, and that is, look at the words. We're trying over here to understand there are two mitzvahs. There is a mitzvah of tzitzis, and a mitzvah of matzis. Both of them, we can explain the reason why tzitzis is unique is because tzitzis represents all of the mitzvahs. Not shechita. Shechita is a one-shot deal. It's a one mitzvah, 1 in 613. This is all. Reason the Chacham is called mitzvahs. Matzah is, we're asking it should be the same thing because matzah is a shmat mesam matzah, I'll take matzah and mitzvahs. What's the word it says by matzahs? Ushemartem, shemira. What's the word that it doesn't say by tzitzis? Ureisem oisoi uzichartem. Do those words sound familiar? Zochar v'shamar. Zochar v'shamar b'di b'recha nemru. When it comes to Shabbos, the Luchos Rishonis, what does it say? Zochar. Zochar es yoyim ha-Shabbos l'kadoshay. And what does it say in the Luchos Shniyos? Shamar es yoyim ha-Shabbos l'kadoshay. Two different aspects to Shabbos Kodesh. A positive element and a negative. You shall positively sanctify the Shabbos, and Shomar is guard yourself by not desecrating the Shabbos. Okay, the positive and the negative. In all of the mitzvahs Hashem that we have, that we focus on, we have two. We have tzitzis and matzahs. Both of these mitzvahs are unique. I think they're the only ones that explicitly represent all of the other. They're the ambassadors. They're the witnesses. They're the ambassadors of all the mitzvahs. Matzah is the same letters as mitzvahs. Matzois, the same letters. Al tikri matzois ala mitzvahs.
But
Shabbos, it doesn't say Shabbos. You're saying very good, but it's not as explicit. That's Shulchan Aruch. That's what it says, Shulchan Aruch, because that's a certain, that's another element. He's saying good, that if a person is a Shem Shabbos, everything is good. He gets a pass, even if he eats Chazer. If he's a Mechal Shabbos, and he does every other mitzvah meticulously, he's a nobody. You're saying very good, it's definitely true, but does it say anywhere in the Torah or in Chazal that Shabbos is an ambassador for all of the mitzvahs? Shabbos represents that you're a Jew. You're an observant Jew. But it doesn't focus on the mitzvahs. It focuses on you as being committed to the cause. You have some gaping defects in your observance, but you're a Jew. It's true, Shabbos is everything. Shabbos is certainly everything, but these two mitzvahs are ambassadors of all of the Taryag mitzvahs in the most explicit way. Regarding tzitzis, what does it say? Zochor. Regarding matzah, what does it say? Ushemartem. Sounds familiar, right? Zochor v'shomor b'dibur echad nemru. What is zochor? Sanctify Shabbos in a positive way. You should have good food, enjoy yourself. What is Shomer? Don't be mechalel Shabbos. I know someone who is a ger tzedek. And when he was becoming Jewish, he did not understand the principle of Zohar. And on Shabbos, he told this to me. He told me in very great detail, he really didn't understand Shabbos. And basically he thought, and he actually did, he would stay in his apartment the whole Shabbos and just do nothing. That's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is you're not allowed to work, you're not allowed to travel on the train, you're not allowed to be mechalel, so what are you doing? He just sat home and he read books. That's what Shabbos is. And then he had a friend in his building who somehow got to know him. And he said, why don't you go to shul? Well, why don't... So he told him, I'm in the process of becoming religious, and I'm observing Shabbos, I'm trying, practicing, observing Shabbos. So he said to him, you got it all wrong. That's not Shabbos. Shabbos is not just about what you don't do. You're going to sit in your apartment the whole day and just read books and sleep? It's not going to last very long. That's not Shabbos. You're very good. You're very good in your commitment to the Shomar, to guard Shabbos, not to violate the Taryag, not to violate Michal Shabbos. You'll never survive. I'll show you what Shabbos is. You come with me. Follow me around. We're gonna go to shul. We're gonna have some good challah after the evening. We're then gonna go to my house. We'll go to a kiddush here. We'll go to a kiddush there. We'll go visit this rabbi. We'll go visit this friend. We'll go for a walk. We'll go to a shir. We'll go for shalosh shudis. Follow me around. Let me teach you about zochor es yom haShabbos l'kadsho. Let me teach you about what you do on Shabbos to give it sanctity. So now this comes back now to our question. Our question was, why is it when it comes, we have two mitzvahs which are the ambassadors of all of the mitzvahs. When it comes to tzitzis, every time you do the mitzvah of tzitzis, you make a bracha. Even though, truth be told, don't get me with the technical answers, the geek answer. Don't get me with the technically speaking, you don't have to do it. No one's asking you. You don't have to put on tzitzis. Technically, We know you better, you don't play around with this. You don't play around with this, you put it on the tzitzis. And therefore, oh, you put on the tzitzis? Make a bracha. Make that bracha, even though Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu. What are you talking about, v'tzivanu? You never commanded me. I don't have to do this. I don't wear a four-corner garment. I don't wear tzitzis. I know the technical answer, put that aside now. We don't need to come on. What's going on over here? I don't have to do it. No, you got to do it. You know why you got to do it? Because tzitzis represents, it's the ambassador of the positive mitzvahs. Vasise, my son. When it comes to the negative mitzvos, it's telling you what not to do. So it's the ambassador, absolutely, and there's no question that it should be, has to be done. It should be done, but it doesn't have to be done. Not every matzah does not need to be done. You don't have to eat matzah all 6.5 days. You eat matzah the night of Pesach. You don't have to eat matzah 6.5 days. If you do eat that matzah 6.5 days, you're getting an amazing mitzvah. An amazing mitzvah like none other, and you're going to get an enormous reward. Should I make a bracha then? Like when I make my tzitzis? No. No. Don't make a bracha. You know why? You're not obligated. But I wasn't obligated by tzitzis, and there I make a bracha. So I'm not obligated. I should make a bracha here as well. I'm getting a mitzvah. If you're going to make a bracha, you're giving it too much credit. Torah is not about the negatives. When you live a life of yados, and it's all about the negatives, you're Jewish. You know what that means to be Jewish? Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Everything is about what you can't do. You get burnt out very, very quickly. In Yadus, the focus has to be on the positives. When it comes to tzitzis, I don't have to do it. But I'm going to do it. You're going to do it. Make a bracha. Make a bracha. Elevate it to a new plateau by making that bracha. When it comes to the negative mitzvos, I don't have to do it. When it comes to the negative, well, it's not, when you come to the representative of the negative, which is matzah, if you eat that matzah today, you are getting an amazing mitzvah. But don't make a bracha. Don't make a bracha. Why not? Because this mitzvah, which is the ambassador of all of the mitzvahs, it's the ambassador focusing on the negative elements of what you're not supposed to do. Mitzvah bol yotcha al tach mitzana. Don't let it get stale. We don't want you making a bracha on the ambassador of what you're not supposed to do in Judaism, because that's not what Judaism is about. Judaism is about the positives, not about the negatives. Okay, now let's go to another element in this idea, which is a very amazing thing, which ties into what we just said. There's a Rambam, there's a Rambam which is discussed. Which is discussed a lot. It opens up a whole new world into a lot of things, this Rambam. The Rambam, let's discuss the halacha of a person takes an oath that he will do or not do a mitzvah. Make a shvua. I make a shvua that I will never wear tefillin. Now, tefillin, you don't have a choice. Tefillin, you must wear tefillin whether you like it or not. But it makes a shvua. I hereby swear I will never, ever wear tefillin. Your shvua is nonsense, because you are already mushpa v'oimid mehar Sinai. You already have an obligation mehar Sinai. You already took an oath that you will wear the tefillin, so you cannot make a shvua that to negate what you already at Har Sinai took an oath that you will do. So the whole it's totally nonsense. Let's say you make a shvua, I will never ever eat oranges for the rest of my life. I'll never eat bananas. Make a shvua. Is it binding? Yeah, why not? It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah you have to eat bananas. Nova pasuk somewhere? An obligation to tayag mitzvah is somewhere? There's no obligation to eat bananas. If you make a shvua, I will not eat bananas, it's binding. Okay, now what happens if a person makes a shvua? I will never, ever, ever put on tzitzis. for the rest of my life. Is that Shavua binding? So I think you argue, this is how all the commentators approach this topic. Well, Chari, yeah, it's a good Shavua. Oh, but you took a Shavua at Har Sinai, you're going to observe the mitzvahs? Well, this is not a mitzvah that they have to do. You have to do. If you have no choice, the Torah says you must do it. By Har Sinai, did you ever take a shul by Har Sinai that you're going to put on tzitzis? No. The shavua you took at Har Sinai is that if you do wear a garment that has four corners, you will then put on tzitzis. That was the oath that you took at Har Sinai. But if I now take an oath to avoid coming into that situation, what harm have I done? At Har Sinai, I took an oath that I will observe the Tayag Mitzvahs. The technical observance of the Tayag Mitzvahs is, regarding tzitzis, is if I wear a garment that has four corners, I will wear tzitzis. But I have an option, if I want, I can maneuver my entire life in such a way that I will never, ever put on a garment that has four corners. So let me make such a shavua. I will never put on a garment that has four corners. So I'll never trigger the obligation to be chayav in tzitzis. The Rambam, so I think the average person would say that if you make such a shvua, it's a good shvua. It's binding, and your obligation exists, and if a person violates the shvua, there's a severe penalty for swearing falsely. If you deliberately violate this oath, and you put on a garment of four corners. And this does not fit into the category of you cannot make an oath that violates something that you've already sworn the opposite at Har Sinai, because that's not what I swore at Har Sinai. At Har Sinai I made a shvua that I'm going to put on tzitzis on a four-corner garment. That's what the average person would conclude. The Rambam says as follows. Let me read you his exact words. Let me find the words over here.
So then, if you make a shvua not to put on arba kafis,
yeah,
is Hashem angry with you when he gets angry?
So Hashem's going to get angry.
Why? You don't want to be over on...
You're willing to take your chance. You're willing to take your chance. Okay, let's see. The Rambam says over here, the Rambam says, Shekosav she'odom ha'nishba levavach ha'mitzvah goyin she'nishba shlo yis'atev b'tzitzis. Here's the word. No, Odom, this is the example the Rambam gives. She'odom ha'nishba levatel es ha'mitzvah kegoyin. The example the Rambam gives is, she'nishba shelo yis'atev b'tzitzis u'chidoyme ha'rei zeh shvua shav. Now the Rambam, he doesn't. Now the Rambam, listen, Hikshab, let me read the whole Hikshab, Zuchor LaAvram, name of a sefer. Shreidas Rambam, Shein Chiv Al Kol Adam Liknois LeTalis LeSatev Bar Rak Mitzad Midas Chasidus, like with the Gemara, the Grav Ketina. Ein Adam Liftor Satsma Min Amitzvah Vimke Madua Nishbal Shlol Yisatev Vitzitzis Tad Nechshav Kinishbal LeShuvashov. Shreatam Shnishbal Levatlos Amitzvah Nikra Shuvashov Mishum Shu Nishbal Davar Shiyev Shlevatlos Aval Kan Harbi Yev Shari Aidei Zeshlo Yilbash. Now he's going to go here, a technical answer. He's going over here technical answers. Okay, this is the problem. So this is what the Rambam is. The Rambam is a little bit vague. Okay, the Rambam is not as explicit as I wanted it to be. Let's try to discuss this Rambam and what is the Rambam is saying. The Rambam is the person makes a shua, I'm not going to be mekayem mitzvah. For example, I'm shelo yis'atev b'tzitzis. The Rambam says this is a shavua shav. As we just said, why is it a shavua shav? You have no obligation to wear tzitzis. How are you going to make sense out of this Rambam? There are a lot of technical answers to answer this Rambam. The simplest of the technical answers is to say that what the Rambam means is that your shvua really is that if I'm wearing a garment of four corners, I make a shavua, I'm not going to put into that garment for the tzitzis. That obviously you can't do. That you can't do. The Rambam is only telling you that it's a shvua shav if your shvua is that I'm not going to yisatef betzitzis, meaning I'm going to put on a garment that has four corners and I will not insert into the four corners the tzitzis. You have no right to go. You have no right to go to do that. But let's say the person would make a shvua that he will not wear a garment of four corners so that he will not be obligated. Oh, that you could do. Okay, that is a technical answer. Now there are other, there's a lot of lumnus here, but I'd rather discuss other things, but there are other technical answers to answer the Rambam, but I don't want to go down that path. And I want to suggest to you that you take the Rambam in its broadest sense, because the Rambam didn't go make all these distinctions. The Rambam just said it as a matter of fact. And the Rambam is learning from Rebbe Katina an incredible chiddush that I don't think we would say unless you would say it all you want, but unless you'd be able to really find the source, you would be afraid to say it. And the Rambam is saying that in the story with Rebbe Katina, we learn that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry at you. You have no obligation to wear tzitzis. That's a given. But we have a Gemara, Rebbe Katina. He didn't wear tzitzis. The Malach said to him, they're angry at you in Shemayim because you are tzitzis, as we discussed, is not like shechita. This is not just one mitzvah. Tzitzis, u'ri'isem oisoi u'zachartem es kol mitzvahs Hashem. All of the mitzvahs. And you, by avoiding this mitzvah, you are angering Hashem. It's not a technical violation, but it's a violation where you're here in this world as a Jew to mekayim the mitzvahs, and you're going out of your way to avoid the mitzvahs asay be'idon derischa. At a time when there is divine wrath in this world, Hashem will punish you for your avoidance. This principle is so powerful, you cannot make a shvua to avoid that. Look how far it goes. The mitzvah of tzitzis is so powerful that combine this with how we started today. It's not like matzah. Matzah on the other 6 days, ushmartem. You don't make a bracha. You don't make a bracha on the matzah because it's an ambassador of the mitzvahs where the focus is the negative mitzvahs. But the element of Judaism of focusing on the positive and bringing yourself to acknowledge the positive is so fundamental. This is included in Har Sinai. When you as a Jew stood on Har Sinai and said, Nase v'nishma, and took a shvua, you know that includes Nase v'nishma? It doesn't just include technicalities. They didn't give everyone at Har Sinai a book of rules and regulations and told you to sign on the bottom. They interviewed you. They want to understand your passion to be committed to the cause, to give Hashem satisfaction, nachas ruach. If you are going to make a shavua that I am going to avoid putting myself in a frame of mind, acknowledging that there is a God and He gave us tayag mitzvahs, that shavua is nonsense. It's null and void because you already took a shavua that you're not going to do that. What do you mean? Read the law. Read the Constitution. Where in the Constitution does it say that I have to wear tzitzis? Excuse me. You're missing the boat. You're totally missing the boat. There's more than just the Constitution. There is, are you an American? I'll have dollars. Are you part of Klal Yisrael? Are you a Jew? At Harrison, this is a good drasha for Shavuos. What exactly is the oath that Klal Yisrael took at the time of Har Sinai? They took an oath on technicalities? on tayag mitzvahs? Well, if that's the case, making a shul, you're not going to wear a tal. I'm not going to ever put on a garment of four corners. Then there's nothing wrong. But if the oath that you took at Har Sinai is, I am committed to live a life where I come in contact with Hashem and I come in contact with the tayag mitzvos and I strive to raise myself higher, that means I'm committed to put myself in a situation where I have a garment of four corners so that I can put on the garment tzitzis and I can look at them and I can say, it's called mitzvos Hashem v'asitzim v'asam. And if you're going to make a shul that you're never going to allow yourself to come into such a situation where you'll now be obligated to remember all of Hashem's mitzvos, then you are going up against the shavua that you took on Har Sinai. This Rambam is being megale to us the very nature of what happened at Har Sinai. It wasn't just a shavua to observe 613 mitzvahs. It was a shavua to be committed to the cause, to be a person in this world who has a goal to come closer to Hashem with the tayag mitzvahs. And if you now, at this moment in time in your life, make a shavua, I will never allow myself to put on a garment of four corners, because it's now going to trigger upon me an obligation to see those mitzvahs, the tzitzit, and remember the mitzvah. I don't want, no. That's outside my comfort zone. Well, you took a shavua at Har Sinai that you would not do that, that you would allow yourself to be put in situations where it will force upon you an acknowledgement of a creator and the mitzvahs and your obligations towards that creator and the observance of those mitzvahs. This Rambam is explosive. It's an explosive Rambam. I know, the geeks are going to tell me technical answers. I don't mean that in the bad term, you know. But there are a lot of, like, the brisker answers. You know, we can answer the Rambam. He has over here two mahalchim had of enfer the Rambam with technical answers. All right, they're very nice. But why do you have to go to the technical answer? The Rambam is broad. The Rambam, Rambam is not a technician. The Rambam paints with broad strokes. And the Rambam says, if you make a shavua, shelo yis'atev b'tzitzis. He doesn't tell you the garments, you have a garment in the box. Doesn't tell you this case, that case. I don't want to put myself in a situation where I see upon myself the tzitzis. That's the broadest interpretation of these words. Shavua shav. What do you mean shavua shav? No, it's taka shavua shav. Because the Maisa with Rabbi Ketina and the Malach is a Gilui. There's more to Yadus than just technicalities. There is commitment to who you are and your purpose, your goal in this world.
But there was nothing wrong with Rabbi Ketina. How can you say that?
So it was a Musa Haskel. Okay, so you have to analyze, this is the story in the Gemara. Rav Ketina did not wear a talis. He did not wear it. Okay, he did not, whatever his reasons were. There's something wrong with that. The Malach says they are angry. So I'm going through all the steps. Why are they angry? When it comes to Shechita, are they angry?
Well,
are they angry at a vegetarian in Shemayim? There's no makar anywhere that in Shemayim they're angry at vegetarians. Or for that matter, any type of thing. There's no makar. Why not? Tzitzis is different, because tzitzis re'isem oisoy u'zechartem es kol mitzvah es Hashem.
In life, there can be somebody or a family who does something technically right, and it can make everybody very angry.
Right, the whole life is like this. Yeah. Look at America. In America, you have the constitutional lawyers, and you have all different types of the judges, the Supreme Court. Are they going to interpret the law according to the flavor of the Constitution, or are they going to interpret the law literally? You want to interpret it literally, you'll have all these Democrats destroying the country. They'll rip apart the whole essence, the whole culture. Everything will be ripped to shreds. You want to interpret the Constitution in a more abstract sense, then what did the framers have in mind? These are you can't bring a raya from goyim 200 years ago. These are not holy people. But just, you know, just talking current events to give a little bit of a taste. There's more than just the technical law. Okay, I want a little. We have 8 minutes. I want to tell you a little divar agoda on tzitzis. Okay, a lot of different. One, I want to focus on let's just do one plot for now, and that is, where does the mitzvah of tzitzis really come from? What's the first reference we have to tzitzis? It comes from Noach. Before that, where Avraham and Muchut at Sodeichnal. Excellent. Okay, there are many different elements of tzitzis. Let's focus on one prat. On one interesting prat, and that is Noach. The first time we really find any mention of tzitzis is Noach after the Teva. After the Teva, what happened? Noach vayita kerem vayishkar vayiskal v'sechamachne. I don't remember the exact passage, but after the Teva, after the Mabel, Noach came out of the Teva. He planted a vineyard, and he drank from its wine. He became intoxicated and he was lying naked on the floor. Noach had three sons, Shem, Chom, and Yefes. Along came Chom. Chom saw that his father was intoxicated, was naked, and he did an Avera. He did an Avera to his father by doing a procedure that prevented him from having more children. Chom was afraid that Noach now would have more children. What's it called in English? Castrated him? Mm-hmm. Okay, so he castrated him. Okay, a very horrible thing. Imagine a child castrates his father. Super bizarre, right? But that's what he did. Why? Because he was afraid that 1/3 of the world was not enough for him. He had already, they were going to divide the world into three parts. Into three parts. And he's only going to get 1/3. He was afraid that Noach will have another child after the Mabel. And now the fourth child will now get 1/4. So it's going to take away 8%. He's only going to get 25% now. And until now, he was going to get 33%. 8%! Because I'm going to lose 8% of the will, it's kedai for me to castrate my father. Makes sense to you? That's what happened. That's what it says. Okay, that was Chom. Goodbye. Then comes Shem and Yefes. And they see their father lying there in a state of bizoyon. So what did they do? They took a garment and they covered his nakedness. Pasuk there says, I don't have it in front of me, they took a garment and covered his nakedness in order to cover his shame. Noach wakes up and somehow he looks at the videotape, takes out the security cameras, and he sees exactly what happened. And he sees in the security camera that what Chom did to him. And he cursed him. He cursed that your fourth son should be a Canaan, should be cursed, a slave. Shame and Yefes. So he gave them blessings. But he gave them different blessings because he saw from the video, from the movie, he saw that they had different intents. You can see from their actions, when they covered him, it was for different reasons. Yefes covered his father because it was disgusting. It was shameful. He wanted to cover the shame. That was Yefes. Chom covered his father not just to take away the shame. Shame covered his father not just to take away the shame, but to give him dignity. The way he covered him with dignity. He wanted, the covering was done, I don't know all the details, his mindset wasn't just to remove the shame. His mindset was to restore Noach to a state of dignity. Yefes couldn't care less about the dignity of Noach. He just wanted that in the media, there were three people in the world, but there must have been hundreds of millions of cockroaches that read the newspaper like there are today.
Was he ashamed? Was he concerned about his father's shame? over the shame he
felt. No, his father's shame. His father's shame. Okay, so there must have been some cockroach that read the New York Times. So Yefes didn't want it to leak to the media. He didn't want it, that's why. So that was just to cover the shame. But shame wanted dignity. It was a more intense kavana. So therefore, Chazal go on and they say there was a reward. What was the reward? Chom, Yefes was rewarded that in their his descendants, namely Goig Umagoig will be buried. We're learning in the morning in Zechariah, Melchemes Goig Umagoig, when they will be obliterated off the face of the earth. There's no reason why they should be buried. Their bodies can just decay on the field like they did to us. They do to their other enemies. Why? But yet Hashem decreed in reward for their ancestor, Yefes, exerting himself to cover the nakedness, to remove the shame of Noach, his descendants will be rewarded, that their shame, their bezoyon, will be covered, they will be given burial. All of the people who died in Melchemes Goig Umagoig, they will be buried. What about Yefes? Shame, who had a much more noble intent. His kavanah was not just to take away the embarrassment of Noach, but to restore the dignity of Noach to its former state. It was a more profound intent. He will be rewarded, that his descendants will be covered with the talis shel mitzvah. This is what it says in Rashi, says this. Rashi and Chazal say this. So the reason, the very first reason why we have a talis shel mitzvah, every single day we're a talis shel mitzvah, is because Shem, the son of Noach, covered his father to restore his dignity in the aftermath of him becoming intoxicated in the model. Now, I'll just give you a little cute little thing before I tell you what I really want to tell you is, why is it that Mitzvah Shabbos, you fold the talis? Why do you fold the talis?
Because it doesn't get dirty.
Shabbos is Noach. It's the same. You rest. What do you do on Shabbos? You rest. When Noach is over, which means when Shabbos is over, and there's a talis lying around, it is a reminder of what happened to Noach after Shabbos.
Oh, really?
After Shabbos, the Teva, Chazal say in the Teva, it was a whole year. Did they observe Shabbos in the Teva? There's a Medrash. The Medrash says the entire year was one big Shabbos. The whole Zman they were in the Teva, it was a year of Shabbos. Time operated differently. So, and when they came out, and Noach, what does that mean? Shavasva yinafash. It means to rest. Noach means to rest. So,
but he
when
had
they,
no rest.
When they came out of the Teva, it was Mitzvah Shabbos. When Noach came out of the Teva, it was in essence Mitzvah Shabbos. And what happened Mitzvah Shabbos? He made a big mistake. He got drunk. He was Mevaza himself. And what came from that? The talis came from that. We had the shame covering up his nakedness. So when you see the talis lying around Mitzvah Shabbos, it's a reminder of Noach's sin that happened Mitzvah Shabbos. Get it out of here. Get that talis out of here, because that talis is an extension of what Shem did for his father to cover or to restore his dignity. That's a side point. The main point I want to talk to you about is like this. Let's say like this: when you go to a cemetery, there's a principle: loyeg l'rosh cheref oseyu. You better make sure you put your tzitzis in your pants, when you go to the cemetery. Very interesting. What about your payas? Do you ever see chassidim? Okay, I don't have payas. But do you ever see chassidim when they go to the cemetery? They tie up their payas? What about your yarmulke? Why are you wearing a yarmulke in the cemetery? Yarmulke, I'm a Yerusha Shemayim. I never heard anywhere in Shul where you can't wear tefillin in the cemetery.
Sure.
You're not allowed to? Who says? It says Shulchan Aruch?
I think so.
Where does it say Shulchan Aruch? It says in Shulchan Aruch when you came with Tefillin? It says something? I don't know. I never heard of this. Maybe.
Loyeg L'Rosh.
Loyeg L'Rosh is only on Tzitzis. Loyeg L'Rosh on Tzitzis. What? I hear what you're saying. I hear fully what you're saying, but I'm certainly that's the way we practice the halacha.
Maybe
you don't
deduction.
By deduction, but it's not so simple. It's not so simple. First of all, loyeg l'rosh no loy on tzitzis.
Have something nice to say.
I'm trying to get there. Yeah. And that is, it's not so. You don't find loyeg l'rosh by anything other than tzitzis. Now, I'll tell you one shot that's very simple, which is today, no one would dare let their tzitzis drape on the floor. I wonder if we spoke about this, but years ago, in previous generations, it seems that that's the way they actually wore their tzitzis. They wore their tzitzis, they had very long garments, and it was long tzitzis, and the derech, that's where they belong. The tzitzis would drag along the floor. And that's why there was this person who didn't like it because they were getting dirty. He made pillows for his tzitzis. They should not get dirty when they drag on the floor. It's because everyone, the way you wear tzitzis is that you have very long garments, four corners, and they're supposed to drag on the floor. When you go to the cemetery and when you walk around the cemetery, your tzitzis are dragging on top of the graves. When we go to the cemetery, no one's tzitzis is touching the grave.
You're right.
In ancient times, so you're wearing tefillin, you're totally not touching the grave. You do whatever you do, any mitzvah you want. It's not loyeg l'rosh. Loyeg l'rosh is when you take your tzitzis, you walk in the cemetery and your tzitzis drag mamish on top of the coffin, on top of the grave. That's already too much. That's called loyeg l'rosh. Okay, put that aside. That's what I want to say. The reason why I want to say over here, dafka tzitzis, because when we wear tzitzis, the tzitzis correspond to burial. Because the very first pair of tzitzis, the very first time tzitzis came into existence, was Shem and Yefes. They both together covered Noach's nakedness. Chom, Yefes, was rewarded with burial. Burial. And Shem was rewarded with the talis shel tzitzis. Talis shel tzitzis go hand in hand with kavura. It is where we differentiate ourselves from Yefes. Yefes' kavana had a kavana, and Shem had a kavana. They did exactly the same thing. The kavana of shame resulted in a talis shel tzitzis. The kavana of yefes resulted in burial. The two are twins, the Siamese twins. And it causes us to stand out. The difference between us and them. When you go to a cemetery and people are in the ground, they're buried. This is Yefes. You're seeing in this world an element of Yefes. And you wearing tzitzis? I'm Shem. I'm Shem and you're Yefes. That's loyeg l'rosh. Loyeg l'rosh is not, oh, I'm doing mitzvahs and you're not doing mitzvahs. Too bad for you. You're in the next world. In the next world, it's too late for you to do mitzvahs. And I'm doing... It's true. I'm not denying that. I am panim l'Torah. But there's something deeper here. If you're buried, you're in the ground, oh, burial, that's Yefes. I'm wearing tzitzis, talis shel tzitzis. I'm Shem. Remember the Maisa Shehaya? Remember what happened with Noach? Noach was in a state of bizuy, a bizoyon, and his two sons covered him. One had an elevated kavana, and one had a less elevated kavana. And look, the elevated kavana resulted in a talis shel tzitzis, and the lesser kavana resulted in burial. That's loyeg l'rosh. because the two stand in stark contrast to one another. When a person is actually buried, what is the Minhag Yisrael? He's buried in a talus. A talus. Why? Because the dead body is saying, don't insult me and put me, don't insult me and put me in, and put me in kavura. I'm not Yefes. I'm Shame. Shame was zeicha to the talus. Now, by the way, one part. Many of the Farshim say is that the bracha was the essence is the talus, not the tzitzis so much. The tzitzis came later by Avraham Avinu. The ikar thing was a special beged shel mitzvah. You know, there's a talus katan and a talus gadol. The talus katan is not a beged shel mitzvah. It's a hecha timsa to the mekayim tzitzis. The talus gadol is a beged shel mitzvah. The ikar bracha of shame is the beged shel mitzvah, which would result is that by the Beis HaKvara, the ikar tzvi is not to wear tzitzis, it's not to wear a beged shel, not to wear a talus. The tzitzis is not so bad. It's the talus that's the problem, it's the beged. Why is a mace buried in a talus? Not necessarily the tzitzis, they make the tzitzis puzzle sometimes. We make altar, right? The whole mace with the grah, but we make it puzzle. But they're buried in the talus. Why? Because it's basically saying, don't insult me. You're putting me in the ground? Kavura? Kavura is Yefes. I'm better than Yefes. I'm Shame. So that's right. The talus envelops the body in the matzav of Kavura to bring the neshama, to bring the guf from the Yefes to the higher matziv of shame. And the living should not mock the dead by wearing a talus, saying, look, we are shame and you're only Yefes in this dimension. Okay, that's the drush. The halacha and drush, thank you very much for coming.
It's a Gemara that you're not allowed to go with tefillin.
It's a Gemara?
Yeah.
It's a Feirush Gemara?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's only...
Where's the Gemara? It's a Feirush Gemara? It's a Tzom Tzorosh?
It's a Gemara. But even to learn, to bring the same...
The Dalai Lama's way, right, to learn.
Have a good day, everyone.
It's an extension of Loig L'Rosh. Okay, fine, but
I... to learn by... But there's... How do you say Aspen with Divrei Torah, if it's right?
L'Chvoida, when you learn L'Chvoida,
it's
Motor.
So it's a different story.
But there's definitely an emphasis specifically on the Talos.
That's why you build the Talos after Shabbos. Because who saves you? Your wife with marrying you. And you marry under the Talos, right?
He's saying
so
drush.
So you after Shabbos, if you don't fold the talus, you're making fun of your whole shalom bayis, of your whole marriage.
The wife gave you the talus,
right? And she was willing to suffer, to become your wife.
She was meiser nefesh under the chuppah to be with you.
Yeah, to be married.
To marry you. So you have to show our kares hatayv. So why dafka mitzvah Shabbos?
Uh-huh.
Why dafka mitzvah Shabbos?
Because Shabbos you can't do it. It's a muktzah. You can't fold it.
But why Mitzvah Shabbos?
The first thing after Shabbos. There's another thing you do with Mitzvah Shabbos.
Yeah.
You prepare the candles for next week. Why?
Why? I don't know. Why? You're looking forward to the next Shabbos.
The Shabbos Hamalka.
The cycle should continue.
With the Malka.
All right.
With the Queen.
I have a great day. Thanks a lot. All the best.
Good day.
We have a very good kid at the Shabbos. Someone's
daughter
is getting married tonight.
Who?
Yoili Braver. I don't know who he is. He's done his way up.
Thank you.
And I'm Davini.
Welcome to you.
Oh.
And it was the Shabbos Shem Brachas?
Huh?
Shabbos Shem Brachas?
Yeah, but so he's giving the Kiddush. So she says to me, if you want to participate, you can bring the booze.